Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How you doing? I see we have some of your favorite people here today.
That's right. You know I'm excited about the show today. Everybody that listens knows I love to eat, I love to cook, and I love to smoke and barbecue. So our show this morning has a barbecue theme, and I'm so tickled that the business card of our first guest actually is smoked. Did you smell it, Lee?
Yes. How can you not smell it?
I love that smell. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Bob of Atlanta Barbecue Festival and the Atlanta Barbecue Club of Atlanta. Welcome.
Thank you.
So tell us, I mean, definitely in the South, barbecue's popular, but how'd y'all get started?
We originally started at a church. Our church has a homeless program next door to us, and we sponsor the homeless program. And one of the guys cooked a barbecue fundraiser, and I went on our church listserv and said, oh, I think Anthony has the best barbecue in the world. And the listserv started exploding about which barbecue was the best, and somebody said it was Texas, somebody said it was North Carolina, and this place and that place. And the pastor had to go on the listserv and say, please treat each other like Christians when you're arguing about barbecue.
Because people do argue about barbecue,
yeah,
but they connect on barbecue.
And it's a friendly argument. Not quite as intense as college football, but almost.
Yeah, and they kind of go hand in hand, too.
They do. They really do. So we got that started, and we had a barbecue club. We started to evangelize by going to different restaurants. Once a month, we go to a different restaurant and taste their food, and got a website. People said, we need a barbecue festival. You know, there's Memphis in May. There's the Kansas City, the big Kansas City festival, and there's the one in D.C. that's very big. How come Atlanta doesn't have one? So we started one a couple years ago at Turner Field, and then we did one last year at Atlantic Station, and we're doing it again this year at Atlantic Station.
So what happens at one of these festivals?
Well, we have basically a cook-off between pros and backyards.
So it's a competition. Part of it is a competition.
Part of it is vending barbecue. We have people who are selling barbecue. Part of it is we have music. We have a kids area. And we sell beer as well.
Is it one of those like kind of taste ofs where you get a little sample?
No, I think the thing is, we tried doing it as a taste of, and people kept wanting to buy a rack of ribs. You know, you can't just taste a little bit of barbecue. You need a rack. You need a bunch of guys.
You got to commit.
You got to commit. I mean, and the lines got too long to do the taste. So you come down, you have a meal. There is a people's choice where people can taste different teams' barbecue and vote on that.
Uh-huh.
But
are you tasting the meat or the sauce?
The meat. This year there'll be a pulled pork section, and then we're also trying to do a whole hog section of tastes.
That's a good question, though, because the people that like barbecue, usually, I mean, I go for the meat. I taste the meat without the sauce. It's about the meat, and then the sauce is kind of secondary.
Complimentary.
That's right.
I like them all. I like the Kansas City sweet. I like the South Carolina vinegar base. I like mustard, South Carolina mustard, North Carolina vinegar. There's all different types, and the fun of it is looking for the best type.
Yeah.
And what goes best with pork? What goes best with ribs? What goes best with chicken? What goes best? It's a constant. The goal of Atlanta Barbecue Club is to find the best barbecue in Atlanta, and we haven't done that yet. We have to keep trying. Have to keep looking. Have to keep trying. There's a lot of great places, but we're still looking.
If I'm a member of the club, will I taste new barbecue every month? How often do y'all meet?
What is the club? The club still exists?
Yeah, we do the club. We meet once a month,
right,
and we go to a different restaurant, and we usually say something. The restaurant will give us a $20 meal for $13.
Wow.
And we sit down, we eat, and we talk about where we're going to go next. It's a very, very
business.
How do
you choose?
From members. Members' recommendations say, I heard of this place, and it's a really neat place.
So you take over the restaurant, kind of?
Basically, we've had anywhere. We started off small, like 15 or 20, and we've had them as big as 90.
Wow.
So it just sort of depends on the season and what else is going on.
How big of an area do you cover?
We've done them from Woodstock to, south of Atlanta, too. So we'll go anywhere within the,
metro area.
Metro area, pretty much. And there's 144 barbecue restaurants. So that's 12 years worth of restaurants to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And we've only been around 2.5 years. So we're working on going to all of them.
Is it possible to have barbecue like be a super high-end gourmet thing? Or is barbecue kind of a down-home, affordable meal for most people?
I think it just kind of, It's mostly a down-home, affordable thing. I mean, I guess there is. They're trying to make it super gourmet, but when quantity is involved, you know the problem with super gourmet. I've been to fancy restaurants and
they give you like a half a rib and they go here.
Okay. Kevin Rathman is a big green egg guy and right. He smokes, and there's nothing more gourmet than one of his steaks with the sauce. So I would say
yeah, I think
yeah.
you could, but what I like about barbecue is you get enough. You're full. You are definitely full, and you're taking some home.
That's right.
Versus, yeah, I never have a doggy bag at a gourmet meal.
How are you not huge? I mean, I love barbecue, but I probably haven't.
I'm running around a lot telling everybody about barbecue. I actually travel on foot, and I just run around telling everybody about, hey, barbecue's great. Barbecue's great.
Yeah, because once you start, you can't stop. It's good.
It's addictive. It's just, there's something sort of soulful, and it's like, this is the flavor of the South.
Amy's from Kansas.
Oh, are yeah, you really?
I am, but I like Southern barbecue better than Kansas City style. I do.
Oh, good. I go through moods. I go through, like, I like chicken, I like ribs, I like brisket, I like pulled pork, and I'll be like, you know, I've had a lot of ribs lately. I just haven't had brisket in a while. I want some really good Texas brisket.
Mm. Is there any vegetarian tofu barbecue?
There is, actually. What we say in the barbecue world, if you want vegetarian, we got some chicken for you.
You can actually smoke vegetables and tofu, and it has good smoky barbecue flavor. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a vegetarian in my family, so I have to accommodate her too.
That, right?
Yeah, we do the sauce. We sell the sauce, a barbecue sauce, on a vegetarian burrito. Bean burrito with barbecue sauce is sort of your vegetarian alternative.
So there's something for everyone.
Absolutely.
Something for everyone. So you do a lot of events. Tell us what you have coming up, and then let's talk to Benji, because that sounds like a fun event.
Well, our big event coming up is September 30th and October 1st at Atlantic Station. It's our third annual Atlanta Barbecue Festival, which I just kind of described. We meet on the back lot with the Cirque du Soleil. We have kids activities. We have barbecue teams. We have the stage full of music. We're having it Friday night and Saturday from 12 to 8, Friday from 10 to 4. And it's just follow the smoke and the smell, and you will be there. Please come early. We're really working hard not to run out. We ran out of barbecue and beer the last 2 years, so we're trying to make sure we don't that doesn't happen again.
Wonderful. Sounds like a great time. And I'm going to become a member of the barbecue club. That's right up my alley.
And how do you get to be a member? You just go to the website?
Go to the website. It's a $25 membership. You get a 10% discount at places like New York Butcher Shop and a bunch of different restaurants.
Oh, wow.
Just show your card, a 10% discount on dine-in food. And you get a map of all the barbecue restaurants in Georgia and other invite-only.
Is that a family membership or that
yeah,
that's
person? No, that's a family thing. If you're willing to share your barbecue with your family, which depends on the family, then you got to buy two.
I'm out.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. And so tell us a little bit about the Chick-fil-A Bowl coming up.
Well, the Chick-fil-A Bowl, we're going to be supplying judges for a couple of their cook-offs. And that's one of the invite things. Members that have paid a membership get an invitation. If they can attend the Chick-fil-A Bowl and do the volunteer activities, they'll be able to do it. And we've worked with them for the past 2 years, and it's been a great relationship. We have Benji Hollis here, and we've worked with them, and it's a well-run, excellent event that has a lot of great barbecue food.
Excellent. Benji, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Tell us more about it.
Yes. Well, it's for the Chick-fil-A kickoff game, which is going to be September 3rd, which is Georgia-Boise State down at the Georgia Dome. Basically, this is our third year doing this event. It's the kickoff cook-off, and this year we're going to have it in West Plaza, and it's part barbecue competition / fan fest. We're going to have several different cooking competitions between fans, local celebrities from the schools. We're actually going to also have a barbecue throwdown between Fox Brothers, based here in Atlanta, versus Mickey Ray's of Boise. And we're also going to have tons of great sponsors and food, so we encourage everybody to come on out and check us out.
Sounds great.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun.
What is all this fantastic barbecue made on? I mean, is it a bunch of different types of smokers? Or
all of ours is made on a big green egg.
The big green egg, my favorite.
My favorite, too. We could not do this event without them. We get a ton of support from them, and I can't say enough about big green egg. This event doesn't work without them.
Terrific. So if I want to come to the Chick-fil-A Bowl cook-off, what are the different ways I could participate? Just just to come and eat? Or what if I really, really, really think I'm good at barbecue? Can I compete? I mean, what are the different levels?
Absolutely. First, we encourage you to come down and just check out what's going on and get some sampling. And we're going to have live music, food, drinks. You can buy beers, food, anything you want down there, basically. Mm-hmm. But if you want to compete, you're going to have to go through probably the school's websites, University of Georgia, or the Chick-fil-A Bowl website. We're going to post all the information on that here probably in the next week or so. But anybody that registers to win and then actually gets in the competition is going to take home a big green egg. And
oh, my
Wow.
Yeah, we've got 6 spots available. So I encourage people to go to our website at www.chickfilakickoffgame.com and look for the information to register for the cook-off.
That's huge.
Man.
Wow.
Now you're going to do it, aren't you?
No, I don't know that I'm going to do it, but I'd like to be part of the selection committee, the tasting committee, to find those 6 people, because that would everybody's barbecue is so different. And if they don't have a big green egg already, I'd love to know how they're doing it, because that's definitely the best way to make barbecue.
Well, we encourage you to come on down. And I tell you what, if you want to be a celebrity judge, you're there.
Oh,
we'll be happy to have you as a judge.
Man. Wow.
We're going to need judging for the Fox Brothers Throwdown. We're going to need judging for all of our events. I know Bob and his crew is going to be there.
We can get her to be a judge.
So we encourage you to come on down.
You know, she has a culinary background. She's very picky.
Great. Bring it on.
I'm not picky. I am discerning. And if it doesn't taste good, I won't eat it type thing. But I could taste anything. Oh.
Bring it. We'd love to have you.
And just a little side note for the listeners. I do like it spicy, but I like the vinegar too. Okay. If you're talking about the sauce, and the meat cannot be too smoky. I mean, some people say that sometimes I'll smoke something for like 20 hours and then my husband tastes it and he's like, I feel like I just like smoked a cigarette. I'm like, that's the best kind of barbecue. I worked 20 hours on this. It's like I kept stoking it with the wood chips. I worked hard on this. But no, I do. I love barbecue. So can you
celebrity
tell?
Judge. There you
wow.
go.
Wow. So, Benji, give us that website one more time for those that want to come or our listeners that are up for maybe competing.
Sure. It's www.chickfilakickoffgame.com. And you can also go through www.chickfilabowl.com to get to the website.
I love the new spicy chicken sandwich. I guess it's not so new anymore.
No, I love the spicy chicken sandwich.
And the buffalo sauce.
That's great. Chick-fil-A is amazing. Obviously, they're our title sponsor, and we love everything about them.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for being our guest today.
Appreciate you having me.
Definitely a great segue into our next guest, because the Big Green Egg is definitely the best when it comes to barbecue and smoking. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show from Big Green Egg, Lou West.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome. So Big Green Egg has been around for how long?
Since 1974, when I'm dating myself. I was alive, but had no clue what that was. But started back then over off of Claremont Road. Ed Fisher is our owner, founder, and he was selling pachinko machines, of all things.
Do you still have those? I love pachinko.
I loved pachinko. My brother had one of those.
Dating myself, I've told this story many times, but... I guess we're aging ourselves, but about 50% of them, the folks I tell this to, they don't even know what a pachinko machine is.
Oh, really? Wow.
So I guess we're kind of moving on and past that to electronics and all those kind of devices. But he started that, and he imported them as a side product with the pachinko machines. And when they would be received, damages were horrendous. If you can imagine importing back then, this was basically in Asia. And but the survivors were passed on, and there were some military guys that had brought them back from overseas, Korean War, World War II, and so forth. And so they spotted them, and they needed some service perhaps with theirs that they brought over. And then the new purchasers of the eggs that Ed sold back then, it just kind of networked and word of mouth, kind of like any of these businesses right here when you start up with the with a barbecue society or something like that, it's literally word of mouth, and you do run around a lot trying to network, and that's exactly what Ed did. He brought them on, and through the years, people got them, and fortunately for me, I was local enough, and I received one as a wedding present.
Oh, wow.
As many eggheads probably did.
That's a great wedding present.
It is.
Yeah.
My brother gave us one, and so I was an egghead in 1992. And then, I fell passionately in love with how they cooked and how they performed. Any of the ceramic cookers out there, they perform very, very well. You know, there's some features and so forth to make them work. Eventually, the product was made out of a better and higher quality material for higher heat resistance and so forth, and they were able to mass produce. The older models were hand spun clay, terracotta kind of clay. So there were some stress factors that didn't pan out too well at higher temperatures. And we brought on a factory back in the 90s, and they were able to mass produce. And therefore, from that little store off Claremont Road, we shoot them all over the world with parts that are interchangeable and good quality products. So
can you share a little bit about how it works and what makes it different? Because there are some people that aren't familiar with the Big Green Egg and how the cooking works and what's special about it.
Well, the Kamado style cooking is actually what it's called, and that's basically the egg sort of shape, and they're different sizes and so forth. The materials that you know we've escalated to in the type is a ceramic material. Generally speaking, and I guess I can say I'm not a techie, but I can understand that ceramics basically don't conduct heat. If you have a ceramic piece, you know, an inch thick, you know, and you put your hand to it and you're doing a blowtorch on one side, you know, you're not going to feel it as strongly because the heat isn't transferring through the exterior the ceramic piece. So you build this egg-shaped style out of ceramics, and you put a fire source in there, and it holds the heat and maintains.
And the fire
the
source
heat.
Is it like a gas grill or is it wood or?
Well, ask any of these barbecue guys as well as myself.
Did he just say gas?
Yeah,
sorry.
I'm going to answer that real quickly because if you go to any barbecue contest,
right,
they're always using charcoal.
So they're not using.
There's
gas.
A reason for that.
So not
quality.
Wood?
Quality. As far as
sometimes
taste.
Wood too,
wood for
but
flavor.
Charcoal is the is the start.
That's correct. Charcoal is actually hardwood, and we strongly recommend, although it's possible, but we strongly recommend using natural lump charcoal, which is a natural cured hardwood type. There are all kinds of different variations of it, you know, for flavor as well as fuel source. We use ours as a blend that is definitely a nice dry heat.
So
source.
You have a Big Green Egg.
Charcoal. You don't use other types of charcoal.
That'd be crazy.
We recommend it. Thank you. Thank
it doesn't
you, Amy.
Work.
Natural lump charcoal in itself is, I mean, if you're stuck and you can't find one of our bags, natural lump charcoal I will suffice.
You just have too much ash.
Wow.
Yeah.
You want me to get techie on this?
Yeah.
I will say this. Don't use briquettes. Briquettes they have their purpose, but they don't work very well in a ceramic cooker. So
yeah, definitely worth it.
That's the ash part.
It's worth driving 60 miles to get the Big Green Egg charcoal, really. Our listeners, when you run out, you always need an extra bag, too, because
well, we're working on that. We're working on that 60 mile. We're going to do the Coca-Cola theory. Just put it within an arm's reach.
Right.
I've seen it all over.
Well, locally, it's a little more saturated, needless to say, than perhaps up there, but going back to the thing, when you got it contained cooking, the example that I'm trying to say, you're not burning as much fuel because the ceramic's keeping
heat inside.
And if you're not burning much fuel or as much, you're more productive cooking, you're not using as much oxygen. So generally speaking, you're not drying out your food.
Right.
So you got a better quality cook.
So like if you're cooking a steak on a regular grill and you're cooking it in the Big Green Egg, does it take the same amount of time? Or
time-wise, I would say that's a little bit of an experience, but relatively the same. I would definitely use a Big Green Egg again because you're keeping it enclosed, you're keeping it contained, so you're not drying it out.
Yeah.
Normal grills, I'm going to say you're going to have these flames. It looks nice and it probably tastes pretty good, but it's
noticeably better in a Big Green Egg.
It is juicier, and it just has better flavor.
Right,
and you can cook it. You can just control the heat a little bit better in the Big Green Egg. Because I have a gas grill, too, that I use side by side. No, I still use it for some things. We were talking about
what?
That.
Like, for instance,
sometimes for vegetables or for tofu. And I'll make them on the egg, too. But I've only got one extra large egg. I've got that thing filled up. You know, so
you
sometimes I need to make some of the other things on the gas grill. But the steak on the Big Green Egg, once it gets to that hot temperature, you get the sear marks and the sizzle. Not to mention, your hair smells good when you're done.
I love
the smell of
that
smoke.
That's a little extreme.
Oh no!
Well, the Big Green Egg cologne's coming out.
So. Yeah.
When it does, I'll buy it. I love that smell. The smell of smoke. Mm-mm. But a lot of it has to do with the ventilation too. There's a vent in the bottom and then a vent in the top, so it has to do with the circulation.
Right.
And
so there's an art to this. You can't just do it, this.
You know what? It's
novices
not,
shouldn't.
It's
try
not
this.
Difficult. It just
sounds
very. I mean, you know, the metal cookers, even those, it's very similar. You have an intake, you have an outtake,
right?
And if you can be a little patient and just kind of adapt the openings to what temperature your desired temperature is.
Does it tell you, or you need a meat thermometer?
I would always use a meat thermometer when it's done. That's for safety reasons, number one. As far as, you know, what temperature, just based on your recipe, which is the versatility of these cookers that Big Green Egg has, is you can cook, bake, you know, we can do desserts in it. I've done pies, I've done eggs, I've done everything. And you just control it with the openings, the airflow. More air means hotter temperatures.
Sure.
I just got back from the beach, and I did a butt on a small egg for 16 hours without adding charcoal.
So you just
contained it.
You just leave it in there?
You just
walk away. Go to bed. The thing's on fire.
Get it set. I mean, we'll probably attest to this. You just get it set at, you know, I had it at 220.
Right.
And, you know, I just had it cracked at the balance of 220. I stuck the meat on. I went to bed. Woke up the next morning. Still at 220. I did my meat thermometer. You know, it wasn't quite ready. I waited a few more hours, and it was done. I pulled it off and pulled the pork and...
But the other thing is they have all these great accessories. So they have their own thermometer. So the one I have, there's a thermometer for the meat, and then there's a remote thermometer. So I'm in my office, you know, at home, and I can see the temperature of my meat and the temperature of the egg because it's like a dual thermometer. I love that. And you can even put an alarm on. So like if I do go to bed and it drops below a certain temperature, it'll go beep, beep, beep. Or if it's done.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is serious business.
It is serious business.
The barbecue business, I mean, is really growing up. I mean, it's super to have all the contests and all the KCBS, which is the sanctioning body, the governing body.
There's a sanctioning body.
Kansas.
There's about a dozen sanctioning bodies.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But the KCBS is probably
they do the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting in Georgia. There's KCBS, there's MBN, there's Florida Barbecue Association, Georgia Barbecue Association, South Carolina Barbecue Association. And it's kind of sad, the sanctioning body with the most contests in Georgia, guess.
No idea.
Acme Barbecue.
Florida Barbecue Association.
Right? Really?
Yeah, they have all South Georgia. All the South Georgia contests are Florida Barbecue Association. And Kansas City's starting to grow, and Georgia Barbecue Association is only 3 years old, and so it's
getting there.
It's getting started.
Yeah.
That surprises me. Tell us about some of the other accessories, and then I do want to address the issue that some folks think it's a cult. Once you have an egg, that you'll never go back. And I mean, people don't have just one. I mean,
I have
friends that they start with one, and then they end up with two, and their whole deck is like three, four Big Green Eggs.
Right.
Because... I could never, you know, visualize why someone needed that many until someone told me about Thanksgiving and the smoking of the turkeys.
Right. Right. Well, the accessories, to answer that question first, is that that's just has derived from eggheads out there using the product. And they say it would be really cool if you had, you know, candles, or it would be really cool if you had a pizza peel. Mm-hmm. It would be really cool if you had some sort of a baking stone scrubber or something like that. And so through time, we've private labeled, you know, these kind of accessories to fully utilize our branding and our image and to address some of those people that want us in the cult-like atmosphere. I don't like using the word really cult because that can kind of be a, you know,
the people who follow the Grateful Dead.
A family. There you go. I agree. I relate it to Harley Davidson.
Yeah, we're eggheads. It's not a cult. You're an egghead.
Back in the olden days, again, I'm going to date myself. You know, I always thought Harley Davidson was for the Hells Angels and all that, and it was bad. But now it's pretty cool to have a Harley. Mm-hmm. I don't have one, but, you know, it's kind of an established kind of thing. And I kind of compare us to that. And you know, when you have an egg, it's talked about, it's shared about, you know, what you're cooking on it, what accessories you have or have not. So it is a talk, but I think the foundation that Ed Fisher had on it is it's a quality cooker, and it can make a cook. If it can make a cook out of me, it can make out a cook out of anybody. All you do is follow a recipe, and like I say, you set that temperature on anything that's in a recipe book. You can put it on there.
And those things last forever, right? I mean, you go through gas grills like every couple of years.
Mm. Oh, I'm glad you said that because we do. They do last a long time, and you know our warranty is under normal use to the original owner is a lifetime warranty.
Wow.
You know, we honor that. We we just want people. We feel like at this point,
it's customer for life.
It's a customer for life, and that person is our best salesperson.
Right.
And they're going to pass it on to their neighborhood.
That's so true. Speaking of which, I used my neighbor's Big Green Egg for 10 years before I got my own.
Confessions.
Really. His kids bought it for him, and he just never really, he's not a barbecuer.
So he kept it at your house?
Oh, no, it was at his house. They're heavy. It was at his house, so I would walk over, and I would put something on, and then I would go on my back deck and smell it, and the houses aren't very close in my neighborhood, so it was kind of comical because...
You didn't have the remote.
I didn't have the remote then. No, I didn't. But the deal was always I would share with them what I made.
Right.
And I don't know whether they use theirs or not. I need to give them some lessons because I use mine like twice a week. I've made, I've baked on it, pizzas on it, you name it. Because once you have it, it's fun to experiment with.
Right.
Sometimes, like if I work from home on Mondays, I have something smoking good all day long. I love that. And I do. I keep going on about the smell, but it reminds you of campfire or homey. It's just a great smell.
That's true.
Talk a little bit about some of the woods, some of the different things you can put in the Big Green Egg.
As far as flavorings?
Yes.
You can put any kind of wood chip, you know, what your desired taste. It's very similar to barbecue sauces, if you like this flavor or that flavor. But generally speaking, a sweet wood, such as an apple or even a peach or something like that, goes with pork. I'm not really an expert on being a culinary. You might know better than I. But
I'm sure she has opinions.
Yeah, I was going to say. I heard that already, I think, Lee. So I don't want to stick my neck out too far.
I would just defer to her.
Take me to the butcher shop down
here. Yeah.
But so it's a personal preference. I mean, there's some general
But you need that base of the Big Green Egg charcoal.
Right. And you could
and
do...
And then on top of that, you put these wood to flavor it?
You can.
Correct.
You don't need to, but you can. Yeah.
The charcoal, you just keep in mind, and the mentality, generally speaking, Joe Blow consumer, I'm going to say, is that the charcoal is a flavor source, but it's not really. It's a fuel source. The flavor comes from the added chips and things. Uh-huh. So our charcoal, for example, like I say, is a very bland,
kind of neutral.
Exactly. It's right. It's basically a hickory and oak hardwood.
Right.
So we only want it to be a fuel source, a heat source. If you want the flavor of apple chips, or if you want the flavor of pecan or something.
What
like
do you like, Amy? Go ahead, tell us. Yeah, tell us what the right answer is.
add it to it. You add it to the fuel source.
No, it just you add it to the fuel source, but it depends what you're cooking. Like right.
The wood to the meat.
Yeah, my big bird hunt. I did the duck, pheasant, quail, chucker. Right. I did all those with apple wood,
right?
And that was good. But then pork. Sometimes pecan. I mean, I've been still playing with it. I really don't know the answer to that because it is kind of fun to play with it. But it's amazing what the wood chips will do, especially to bird, because I guess it's porous. But like the quail came off and they were almost pink. Mm-hmm. But oh my gosh, was it good? And the flavor was so good.
And that's due to the chips,
right?
Obviously. And so, you know, use the fuel source. I like to, when I do some demos, I like to do chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
Obviously, I don't put any chips on that.
Right. I've made those on there.
Because people freak out. They think that it's going to taste all smoky and whatnot. Right. And it doesn't. So then it kind of proves, okay, this is your fuel source. If you want to do duck or something like that, you're going to add these chips to get the smoky flavor. Wow. If that's what.
Have you made cookies on yours?
I have. And it's a texture that's different. And I tried all the smokers. I tried the Viking, which I have a Viking range, and I thought for sure I was going to fall in love with that, but I didn't.
Keep going back to the Big Green?
Yeah, and part of it was just, it's so basic, and it's just...
Very simple.
It's very simple.
It is.
And it works every time?
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does, and it's just so much fun to toy around with and get creative with. So I do have to ask, so where are they actually made? I mean, I know your headquarters is in Atlanta.
The headquarters is in Atlanta. We have a manufacturing plant in Monterrey, Mexico. It's a ceramic, mine system that they get a lot of the natural resources down there. That's the ceramic portion. Mm-hmm. You know, the metal parts, so to speak, they're made in the States, the band and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so we put them together, so to speak, in a couple of box quantities. We have a two-box system. So the ceramics come from, you know, our best resource at this time out of Mexico, and then the bands and the metal parts come from the States, and we kind of put the unit together, so to speak, for selling.
Terrific. What did you sell before, out of curiosity?
What did I sell?
Yes. Because you're a salesman. I mean, you can tell.
You want to really go back that far? I worked for United Parcel Service for 11 years, and then I was a project manager with some... experience selling some construction stuff, and then I did some a small tenure and some moving and storage supplies.
How much fun is this?
Way funner than the previous 20 years, believe me.
I would imagine.
It's a lot more fun.
Now, does the smoker, can you leave it outside or it has to be like kind of covered?
Great question. You can do both. You know, obviously the elements are out there. I always say, you know, covers are wonderful. And the real reason why I have mine covered up is for the beautiful birds that fly above your head.
Right.
Because nothing's worse than, you know, having a green with a little white dotted. So I use the cover for that reason. However, they are durable enough to where you don't necessarily.
So like if it rained on it, that's not going to.
Cook in the rain, cook in the snow.
Right. Doesn't matter.
I actually cooked when it was 0 degrees up in Canada for a demo one time. Mm-hmm. I was miserable. But our Canadian guys were just saying, this is great. Let's get some more biscuits on.
Gosh.
It's wonderful.
Cool.
That's terrific. Any final words for our guests about the Big Green Egg before we move on?
Nope. Appreciate you having me. If you need any more information, you know, www.biggreenegg.com. You know, we also have links to recipes. Kevin, you mentioned him, mm-hmm. Kevin Rathman. He has some recipe sections on there and some videos, and it's being updated shortly as well. So it'll be new and improved. Accessories are on there. The full money, and find your local dealer on there as well.
And the dealers are, I think mine came from an Ace Hardware store, but the other thing that's kind of neat too is the integrity of the product. They don't ever go on sale. I mean, the price is the price, it seems like, and that's a good thing. I mean, people are willing to pay the price because of the quality.
They do hold the price well. You know, there are some, you know, some issues sometimes, but quite frankly, overall, if you have an opportunity to sell these things, you can really make money. You can hold your margins because they are a good product. It's a good product to sell. It sells itself almost if you go through the proper channels as far as demoing and so forth, and then you network in your local neighborhood, and it goes from there.
Terrific. Thanks for being our guest. And when is the Eggtoberfest in Atlanta? Because that's coming up.
It's going to be in October. We call it Eggtober. It's the third Saturday.
Third Saturday, okay.
And it's down at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Last year we had 200 eggs there, and 30-something countries, I mean, states represented, and they all came down. And all they do is they come and cook and share the passion. And we ran out of beer last year, too.
That's a common theme.
Yeah, so.
Go hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand, but some wonderful recipes.
I bet. Gosh, Lee.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks so much. You know, you wouldn't want to run out of beer. You definitely wouldn't want to run out of meat. But, Bob, tell me, which one runs out first, usually?
It's beer.
Usually beer. We're trying to control that. We're trying to get more and more beer. But it depends on the weather. It depends on how hot it is. If it's, if it's, you know, the cooler the weather, the longer the chance, the better the chance the meat has of lasting longer than the beer. But overall, you know, we're just trying to keep up with the demand.
How many people actually show up to these things?
Well, first year we were hoping to get 20 teams, 2,000 people, and 20 sponsors. And we had 40 sponsors, 40 teams, and about 5,500 people.
Wow.
And it was just
You were
me.
Off a little.
Yeah. And then the second year we said, okay, we're going to charge to get in. And we figured that would slow people down because of the recession. We were estimating 5,000 people. And, again, same problem. We had 10,000 people show up.
Wow.
So I don't know if we're going to do any advertising this year. We're just going to do
the
event.
Don't tell anybody.
No doubt.
So, Atlantic Station's been a great venue for us, and it's, you know, a lot depends on the weather, and we're having ours September 30th and October 1st, and we're real excited about it. We're going to have more vendors. We'll have the same amount of teams. We're hoping to have between 40 and 50 teams. And last year we had 7 vendors. This year we're hoping to have 10 to 12 vendors.
Neat.
So
excellent.
So come hungry.
Come hungry. Yeah. Come ready to eat.
You don't want to run out of meat, but I do know one guy that definitely has good meat, because if I'm going to put something on the egg, and especially if I'm having company and I want it to be really, really good, you go to the New York Butcher Shop. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Rob Dillon.
Thank you so much, Amy. I'm happy to be here.
So you're the president of the New York Butcher Shop. So you own the ones in Atlanta, right?
I am the owner-operator of the 3 Atlanta New York Butcher Shops. It is a franchise, a very young franchise, originally started in Charleston, South Carolina.
It's not from New York?
It's a family from Brooklyn. Fourth generation meat family came down there. And it's kind of a funny, you know, business-related conversation, if you will, tangent here. You know, I'm from a sports marketing background myself, worked for Turner Broadcasting for many years and wanted to own my own business. And I had two rules. I didn't want a franchise and I didn't want food. I got both.
Oh, wow.
But the reason was very simple. I'm also an Atlanta native. And I know better than anybody that most people down here are from either New York or, you know, the Midwest, the Northeast. And they grow up in a meat culture, meat market culture. And so I saw a business opportunity that, you know, hey, we can provide the finest meats. You can't do it anymore. 20 years ago, you could go to a grocery store, they'd cut a steak for you.
Right.
And it was actually a good steak. Now that's not the case anymore. So, but we're also more than that. We're a full-service butcher shop, cut it, season it, marinated. But we also do chef-prepared sides and entrees or grab-and-go heat-and-eat mentality to complement your proteins, if you will. We've got everything from appetizers to dessert. So, you know, for me, it's a passion about cooking as well. And that's kind of when I got into the business, they say, what do you want to do? You know, do something you're passionate about. I've been barbecuing and grilling since I can remember. You know, I'm a UGA grad. I'm a NASCAR fan. I worked at Turner Sports. So I would go to the races and we'd tailgate with clients. Mm-hmm. Often on Big Green Eggs, and so it's just been it's been a pleasure to get involved with it and to get to cook, you know, kind of like Lou said, it's fun to come to work now and do those type of things that you love.
Why do you think that? I remember as a kid there were butcher shops all over the place, and then they kind of went away. Like, why do you think that they went away?
It's really very simple. In fact, Kroger, one of the first big box grocers really in the country, started in the Atlanta area. And they began the process of that big box. You know, America wanted everything one quick, one-stop shop kind of mentality.
Right.
So they started to kind of weed some out. And then Harry's in a Hurry came, which is, as many of us know, Whole Foods ended up buying them out.
Right.
Now you've got your whole. So basically, all goes back to that kind of, you know, the American.
So the grocery store just kind of took over that business and it kind of weeded itself out?
Yeah. I mean, they offered, back then they offered a similar quality at a cheaper price.
Right.
Nowadays, that's not the case anymore. But
so like in your store, you're getting a more quality cut of meat? Is that?
Most definitely. Our lowest grade that we carry, and I won't go into too much butcher detail here, but the meat is graded by the USDA based on its marbling, which is fat. Fat is flavor. The more fat, the better. So the highest grade is prime, then comes choice, then comes select, then comes stuff you probably don't really want to know about. Most restaurants serve a select or a low choice grade. We carry a certified Angus beef as our lowest grade, as well as prime, Wagyu, which is American Kobe beef, and dry aged meats as well. That certified Angus beef, there's two things. One, it's the highest standards of quality as far as the cattle themselves, the genetics, how they're raised, the humaneness, the sustainability, all of those buzzwords now in this eco-green world that we live in. But so you're also getting the most marbling and the most flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big thing that we do more than anything else, I think, that I try to talk to people about, in addition to the inherent quality of the meat, is we age all of our meat a minimum of 21 days before it even sets foot in our store.
And that's, why is that important?
Red meat, basically with red meat, what you're talking about is muscle fiber. And mm-hmm. that meat breaks down as it ages. And so the reason, the best example I give is people always talk about, they go to a grocery store, the meat's always tough. Because the meat's very young. It hasn't had a chance to break down. The premier window for red meat is between about 25 to 30 to 45 days. So what we do is we get it in and we age it to about 25 days before we put it on our shelves. It doesn't stay there long, so typically you're getting meat right in that sweet spot of
right.
when it's going to be at its most tender. And it also adds flavor as well, because the meat, as it breaks down, there's chemical processes that take place that add flavor. So not only is it the highest quality according to all the USDAs and FDAs and the cattleman industry, et cetera, but it's been aged in a way that no one does anymore. I mean, there's very few restaurants that do it anymore. It's expensive to do. And we take great pride in that, as well as the fact that we'll cut it for you. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, I remember going to Robert at a grocery store 20 years ago on
right.
Ross Road, and he'd cut it. Nowadays, you go in there, and it's 20 minutes. You can't find anybody. And they're like, yeah, you've got prepackaged meat over there
those, right?
with a nice saturated napkin that was pre-watered down before we weighed it. And, you know, you can only imagine the other quality issues there. So we take great pride in being Atlanta's finest full-service butcher shop.
It's funny. Some people like to look at the meat, and they'll let you look. I mean, like mm-hmm.
So
I always make
like
standing rib roast.
Slab of meat, and
they'll bring them out for you. Like I wanted a three rib rib roast.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll ask you which end of the, I mean, there was so much to buying this piece of meat. They asked me questions I never,
yeah, we brought, never we, been asked we would have brought out a whole rib loin, a bone-in rib loin. It would have been about 13 bones
That's
worth
right.
of meat, and we cut
where
it
do you
from
want it?
Short yeah. side, fat side, is short bone, long bone, as we call it.
Yeah.
The short bone's going to be more of a strip-type cut.
Mm-hmm.
The long bone's going to be more of that traditional ribeye where you get that, it's called the spinalis muscle, which is that muscle that goes around the outside, which is the most tender piece of meat, in my opinion, that you can get, even over a tenderloin mm-hmm. because of the fat flavor that's in it. So yeah, we're all about, we cut them on the tray. We have, you know, the huge tray laid out with
right.
pre-cut, but if you come in and you say, I want a 1.72 inch steak, we'll cut it that way.
So you're breaking out the ruler and you're...
Well, we literally, we keep tape measures on the butcher block. We literally do just to make sure. And then we also, we cut it and we try to show it to the customer, say, is this what you had in mind?
Right.
Because a lot of times the customer doesn't really know exactly what
right.
they want.
Well, you're
not
the
used
expert.
To it. Yeah.
I mean, right.
Well, they're not used to it. You
sure.
know, if you go to a grocery store, you get what you get.
Exactly.
You go to a restaurant, you get what you get.
Right.
You come to us, you get what you want.
Right.
And that's a big difference.
Yeah. And they ask me all kinds of questions. You want us to pull the ribs back? I mean, I have no idea.
You want us
so
to
now,
French it, debone
yeah,
it, retie
right.
it? Yeah.
So now I can't buy it anywhere else because they would look at me like I was crazy if I
right.
said, can you pull the ribs back or whatever,
yeah, like,
or which end is this from?
Because that 16-year-old behind the counter is not
right.
going to have a clue what you're talking about.
That's right. And you can go to your establishment for lunch, too.
Well, we do have in our Alpharetta and Dunwoody locations, and we do have three Atlanta locations, Alpharetta, McGinnis Ferry, about a mile east of Windward Parkway where it dead ends. We have Dunwoody at Mount Vernon and Jet Ferry over there by the All Saints Church area. And then we have our Sandy Springs location, which is Roswell Road, 1 mile inside of 285. That's our original location.
Okay.
That is the only one that doesn't offer a lunch service, which is another kind of sidebar to business discussion for another day mm-hmm. about dealing with the Fulton County Health Department and what the rules were. And we
gotcha.
didn't want to deal with that just to sell some sandwiches. But our Dunwoody store in particular, it's about a year old. We're getting a lot of buzz. We cook our own hamburgers mm-hmm. there. Basically,
so good.
We bought the building. It had a vent hood. So I'm like, well, I throw a grill in here. I might as well cook my own burgers.
Exactly.
I got the best ground meat
food.
In town.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, with ground beef, I mean, one, we're using the best quality. Again, we're using a CAB chuck, again, that's been aged. But we also do it fresh daily. And if you ask anyone kind of in the food community, the biggest key to ground beef is it has to be that first day fresh grind. That is going to be the best flavor, the best tenderness. So we do it. So I figure I've already got this in the store. I throw a grill in the back and I put it on a bun and we serve it to people. We also do some of our award-winning barbecue there. We do Boar's Head deli sandwiches made to order. We've got some great salads with, of course, as you might imagine, a grilled steak, a grilled chicken. So we're real excited about that lunch business. In fact, breaking news on your show, congratulations. We are looking to open here in the very near future. We haven't set an exact date, but sometime within the next month or so, we're going to be opening for dinner service in Dunwoody.
Ooh.
So we're very excited. We have a lovely patio there. We serve beer and wine. And the community actually came to us and has given us a lot of feedback. Man, it'd be great if you could get this at night, you know, when we're coming home, mm-hmm. taking the kids from soccer.
Sure.
You know, we don't want to go to McDonald's. We don't want to go to pizza. You know, we want something a little better than that, but also kind of casual, quick in
mm-hmm.
and out. So we listened, as most business people do, and we're making the steps to make that happen.
Now, is that you mentioned this was a franchise? How'd you get that through them? Do they have food in other of their franchises?
Most franchises do a lunch service,
uh-huh.
mostly featuring the Boar's Head deli salad,
right.
You know, chicken salads, things like that. This is one of there's two unique stores in the franchise that I actually happen to be involved in both of. The Dunwoody one, which does the service that we do with the burgers, the full kitchen, we're the only one
right.
of that type. And then there's actually a model in Columbia, South Carolina, called the New York Butcher Shop and Grill. You walk into one side is a full service butcher shop, to the other side is essentially a 4-star restaurant.
Wow, that's a good idea.
With obviously the best steak in town.
Right. Wow.
It's a great
is that
idea.
Working?
It's doing well up there. Yeah. In fact, I'm waiting for Buckhead, being an Atlanta native and Buckhead boy, when they can rebuild my village again. I'm looking to bring that concept to Atlanta, especially
mm-hmm.
with, you know, the business centers,
right.
As well
it
as
elevates
the
brand if you make it a
mm-hmm.
super nice restaurant that brings
well,
everybody
exactly.
up.
And
right.
In many ways, I mean, our biggest challenge, you know, in being a small business is getting the word out about what we do.
Right.
And one thing I found, one of the reasons we do the lunch business the way we did at Dunwoody's, it's easier to get a customer to walk in off the street to try you for a $10 lunch
right.
than
right.
it is to come in and try one of our steaks.
Well, you have to educate the consumer, and then what better way by sampling the food?
Oh, sure.
You know,
exactly.
At a low price, you know?
Which is why we've been involved with the Atlanta Barbecue Festival from day one, because I always say if I can you know, if you told me it costs $20 to give someone some of my food, I would do it every time, because from an ROI point of view,
right.
You can't beat it. I mean, right. That's the whole goal, is
and,
let them try
and
it.
And it's noticeably different. That's it the thing, is. I think, yes. to educate the consumer that it's noticeably different. They don't, you know, in their mind, a steak is steak is steak. Right. They don't,
no, you definitely can taste the difference. And in the ground beef, too. Like, mm-hmm. that's how I was originally introduced to it. I went in and had a burger. I left with 12, I mean, to take home to make. And I didn't know whether it was the seasoning or if it was just the meat, but it was so good. And then I browsed around. And I ended up buying gnocchi and all kinds of other things
Wonderful.
That were in the prepared food section. Yeah. Salami. I mean, I bought some kind of sauce.
Why can't every customer be like Amy?
That's I it. Bought come pumpkin ravioli.
Have you tried the Brunswick stew?
Oh, the Brunswick stew is unbelievable.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Bob.
And again, that's one of your the folks at the Dunwoody location are very good, because that's something, that's a commitment, and it was a lot. I'd already had a burger, and they brought out a little cup for me mm-hmm. to try.
I'm guessing that was Robert. I can almost guarantee.
I left with Brunswick stew. It was so good.
That's actually a family recipe. That's a kind of our contribution to the franchise. And kind
so
of
good.
Back to your question, Meg. I mean, one of the great things about this franchise is being young. They provide us a lot of flexibility. I mean, you know, again, a little business conversation. When I got involved, like I said, I didn't want a franchise. But what I liked about this one was, you know, when you buy a franchise, to me, you get two things. You get a brand and a model. They had a fabulous model. The brand was young, but I come from a branding background. I also knew that most of their locations being in Carolina area, that Atlanta is the capital of the Southeast. It also, in my opinion, is the franchise capital of the world. When
right.
you look at many of the,
no, absolutely.
The companies
There's
from
more
here.
Of them are based here than anywhere.
Based or started here, and it's a very sure. simple reason. It's Atlanta is a bunch of little cities.
Right.
You know, Dunwoody and Sandy Springs are literally now cities that formerly were part of the Atlanta DMA.
Right.
And so that's why franchises can succeed here, because you can have literally 3 miles from each other, completely different city locations. Traffic obviously helps that as well, or hinders it, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so that was what was great for us, was getting into a young franchise, bringing it to Atlanta, and knowing that we could help build that brand with the flexibility to do what we knew was best for the customers here.
Right.
And your marketing is definitely strategic. When I bought my big green egg, I did get a gift certificate to
you got
the
Ace
New York.
Hardware. They're great.
Yes.
That's probably a coincidence.
Yeah, we we do partner with, there's four Ace Hardware's owned locally that happen to be all very near our stores, and mm-hmm. we actually have worked out a deal with them. If you buy a big green egg from the Ace Hardware store, you get a $20 gift certificate to come get free meat from the New York
That's
Butcher Shop.
Get your first steak.
Well, I actually did a cooking class last night at Cook's Warehouse and a grill master class. And the three things, you know, kind of my base 3 points I say is, when you're cooking food, there's three key ingredients. It's the quality of the meat, or, you know, the food that you put in, the protein, the base
sure.
product, if you will. And obviously we've got the best of that. It's how you season it, and then it's how you cook it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the big green egg and the New York Butcher Shop are, you know, we're like a match made in heaven, because if you're
right.
going to have this fabulous grill, why are you going to go put some inferior
steak.
Quality
exactly.
food on it?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You obviously want to take the time and the effort to produce a quality product. And we get 2 out of 3 ingredients between us and the big green egg. And then you add in your own seasonings, or we can marinate mm-hmm. it for you. I'm sure Amy can give us some recipes here in a minute. And everyone's a winner.
Yeah, and you definitely can tell the difference. One of my favorite New York Butcher Shop stories is going back to the Ace Hardware and having the conversation with the manager, who's a big egghead. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about what I was going to do, what wood chips I was going to use. And he's kind of loud, and he's from the north. And he said, "So how big's your butt?" And he's like, keeps talking to me about my butt. And there's a little old lady overhearing this, and she's just appalled. We get in the checkout line, and she says, "I would never let a man talk to me that way." And it was just kind of funny, because I had to kind of replay the conversation, and he was asking me how big my butt was that I bought.
From a third-person point of view, yeah. It's we get a lot of our employees have a lot of fun, as you can imagine, in a meat store. There are a lot of puns floating around there, and we do
sure.
have a little entertainment with that. So
I'm sure. Well, gosh, thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you very much.
And
it
what's
was
the
a pleasure.
Website?
www.nybutcher.com. Also, you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/nybutcheratl, which has a lot more localized content on
right.
there. We do specials, features, events like the classes, the Atlanta Barbecue Festival coming up, and it's a great place to get resources and hook up with us for specials.
All right, so now I can be a fan of yours on Facebook, like I am on the Big Green Egg. Whenever I make something on the egg, I post pictures
Take
of
a picture.
It.
Oh, please do. Please.
And
we,
so
we want
I'll
more
make
of that.
Sure I get more on the New York Butcher Shop.
We love it. In fact, we randomly pick pictures and post them, and we even send out little kind of congrats for that product and a little, you know, free ground beef or maybe some seasoning or something. So it's a great idea to post your pictures, because we like them, and we kind of reward them.
I have big green egg friends all over the world. It's fun. It's kind of fun.
That's it. Compare notes, right?
Thanks for being our guest this morning, Rob. And I'm sure I'll see you at a New York butcher soon. Our next guest this morning and our final guest, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Kyle Vaughn of Hottie Hogs. Love the name.
Good morning.
Welcome. So tell us what Hottie Hogs are. Well, or is.
Hottie Hogs Barbecue is a barbecue restaurant like you're not going to find anywhere in the world. Just in short, basically, we have a barbecue sports bar with Atlanta's A-list of live music like Mudcat, Hamdala, Rod Hamdala, Little G Weevil. All these guys are on the circuit in the South and really all over the world. One of the guys, Little G Weevil, happens to be over in Europe on tour. So we're real proud of the live music schedule we have. Along with, of course, the best barbecue in the world. You got to say that if you're going to be in
the business. And what makes it the best? What makes it the best barbecue?
Well, back in the mid-90s, I'm proud to say that I started off over off of Claremont Road with a big blue egg. there aren't very many of these in circulation.
Collector's item, right? So,
they only made 100?
I have one of the 100, so
wow.
I'm very proud of that. After several years of cooking on that and just all my friends just wowed by, what are you doing? Are you kidding? And then we did the old, I don't know if I should say this on the radio or not, but we'd get the leaf blower out and blow it in the bottom of the hamper. And you can go from 0 degrees to about 1,000 degrees in about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can sear that steak and be done and sitting down eating the whole from start to finish in about 17 minutes cooking with lump charcoal. And I thought that was cool.
That is cool. I've used the hair dryer, but
really?
Oh yeah, I've used the hair dryer, but never the leaf blower.
I don't think this is recommended. Manufacturer recommended.
So anyway, now you know how I roll. And then so we started getting more and more accomplished at working on the ribs, brisket, pulled pork. I'm from Texas, moved here in '94, so it became a big goal of mine to have the best brisket in the state of Georgia. And it's going to be a while before I'll say I have the best brisket in the world or in Texas, just because I recognize. And so at this point now, we do feel like we have the best brisket in the state of Georgia. The Big Green Egg will not accommodate the restaurant as far as the production needs that we have there.
Maybe
so
you should buy like 15, 20 of them. Maybe it would.
You could. But
you'd get a workout lifting the lids.
What we did do is we started and brought in Stump Smokers, which is a very popular smoker here in the Southeast. He's down in Centerville, Georgia. And we have a Platinum 5 smoker, which you can smoke up to a 200-pound whole hog or just a bunch of barbecue, whatever varieties you want. And the good thing about this is we didn't stray away from the core, which is cooking with charcoal. Okay, there's no propane or electricity or anything else used in our barbecue. So we're still staying very old school with it, but at the same time accommodates the capacity that the restaurant and the catering does put on our needs.
And how long do you smoke your meat, or does it depend on the type?
I can give you a quick chicken and ribs are approximately 2.5-3 hours, but that's a lot of people like to go extremely low and slow. Some people like to go a little hotter in those areas. And then on our on the pork shoulders, the butts, as you mentioned earlier, that's approximately 8 hours that we try to go on those. That's to an internal temperature of 200 degrees. And it's however it takes you to get up to about 200 is right in that range is going to give you the best pulled pork. And then on the brisket, that's the baby. That's the spoiled brat of all the meat. So you just have to – you can't make rules. It makes the rules for you. And so we usually go at about 225 degrees for 16 to 20 hours.
Mm. Are you writing this down, Amy?
I'm taking mental notes.
But we let it just – and we use the same computer as what I used on my Big Green Egg is called a Barbecue Guru. And I don't mind telling you, it's just an amazing thing. It allows you to sleep at night while your barbecue's cooking. You can wake up and enjoy the party with your friends rather than being the zombie walking around because you're up all night long babysitting the meat.
Right.
But it allows you to dial in exactly the temperature you want. And then sleep well, come back out there the next morning, and it'll be sitting exactly where you want it to be. And then you can time it all to come off exactly when you want it to. So you can have barbecue at fresh at lunchtime or at dinner time at 6:30 is when, you know. So it really has helped us a lot to achieve a more consistent product, and instead of having someone, oops, and then you've got an entire smoker full of meat that just went 45 minutes too long, mm-hmm. and that can be the difference sometimes.
Right.
So that we do, we love that addition to our smoker as well.
And where's your location?
We are in, I use the word Vinings, and I think a lot of people use the word Vinings, Smining's, all that. We are in the upper west side of Atlanta, specifically in the Riverside community. And it's a place, it's like an old section of town that's coming up with historical homes, and the community has really embraced us bringing barbecue, live music with a full bar. We have also, wouldn't want to fail to mention the Hottie Hog Girls, which the girls get up on the bar and do the little dance routines. It's all in good fun. We have a tremendous family.
Why didn't you lead with that?
I think that's how I got here today, to be honest with you. Nope. Nobody really cares about my barbecue. They just want to come over and visit and have a good time, and if the truth be known. But
no, you have great barbecue. You have great barbecue.
Well, what I did was I created a couple of the dry rubs and a couple of sauces. And then when I got the restaurant started, I realized that, yeah, I may have a knack for making a few things taste good, but am I a professional and accomplished chef? And the answer to that question is no. So I fixed that, and I hired two amazing chefs. Matthew Mosley and James Brochu are in charge of my kitchen. And these guys have been on tour for the last 5 years with the likes of Elton John, Zach Brown. I could really go through a list of about 50 to 100 very recognizable musicians that they've been on tour with as their personal chefs.
Wow.
And so they brought back so many different things that and creative ideas that I just turn them loose. And they take my basic core recipes and they create all kinds of fun twists on barbecue. I want to make sure that I don't stray too far away from that, because our menu will always have your basic core barbecue that you expect to get in any restaurant. But you'll always have a few curveballs thrown at you. You were mentioned earlier in about the super gourmet applications to this, and I wanted to mention a few of the items that they did. One of them was a, we call it the 16-hour roll, and it's a sushi roll made with chopped brisket through the center, okay? Mm. And so we call it the 16-hour roll. So instead of raw sushi, we actually have sushi that's been cooked for 16 hours. And, you know, and they have a different little glazes that they'll put across that. We have smoked trout. We have a smoked tomato gazpacho. Now, that's going into the vegetarian questions that you guys were having. And so, yes, it's that's not barbecue, but there's the word smoke is in there somewhere, right?
Sure.
Is that good enough?
Yeah. Hey, Lee, that might be a good idea for all those tomatoes I just brought you from my garden.
There you
and
go.
I might have to try that. Smoked tomato gazpacho.
That's really good.
You up for that?
When it got really cold and we had the blizzard, in January, we weren't getting deliveries, and so a lot of places were shut down. But we were open, and the guys, Matt, went back there, and he created a brisket shepherd's pie.
Mm.
And this was by far the best shepherd's pie I've ever had in my life, and I started bowing down to him at that moment and worshiping and all those kind of silly things. And then also in the Taste of Marietta this year, we won in the category for Sticky Fingers Award for our watermelon and jalapeno glaze sticky ribs. And these are phenomenal. So
he served them. The Atlanta Barbecue Club had a meeting at the restaurant, and he served those to us, and they are phenomenal. Highly recommended.
Good. Wow, my stomach is growling, and I just looked at the clock. We've run out of time.
I know. It's almost time for lunch.
Time flies when you're having fun. Thanks so much for being our guest this morning, Kyle. And how can people find out about you? Do you have a website or give us the address?
Yeah, hottiehogsbarbecue.com. That's HOTTIEHAWGS.
Just like it sounds.
Hottie Hogs Barbecue. but really, I urge people to go to Facebook.com/Hottie Hogs Barbecue because that's where we post most of our specials. That's where you can find the most updated event schedule, who's playing live, the trivia, and all the other events that we have going on all the time.
Terrific. Gosh, great show.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Definitely made me hungry. We might have to do a barbecue show at least once a quarter. What do you think?
Only if they bring samples.
Yeah.
No doubt. You can have barbecue for breakfast, for sure.
No kidding.
For sure.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you, y'all. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.
Mm-hmm.